The Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear and beloved in Christ, the world in which we live has in so many ways destroyed the sacredness of the family as God has created it. Almighty God created men and women with complementary strengths and talents. This is why both are needed for the proper nurturing, guidance, and protection of children. Because of this, both husband and wife must participate in the rearing of their children and be on the same page in common sense parenting. It's a fact that religion is an essential factor and obligation of both parents in the raising of their children. If they're not in unison with regard to this first and most essential duty, then the road will be very difficult and will leave the children free to imitate either one or the other, whichever path is easier and suits their fancy. Remember that your children, as do we all, have a fallen nature as a result of original sin. If left to their own devices, they will choose the path of self-will and selfishness. Today, your role is more difficult than ever before, as we live in a godless, no-fault world that preaches self-gratification, permissiveness, moral relativity, and entitlement without the need of responsibility or effort. Pope Pius XI warned parents about this spiritual cancer of naturalism, which philosophy separates human belief and conduct from all reference to God, His ways, and His laws. This can be especially seen in the lack of modesty and purity surrounding us. The laws of God and His primacy in a person's life are taught in the traditional Catholic Church, and if you do what you're supposed to do, should also be taught in your home. It's unlikely that your children will get these values anywhere else. Children and adults learn in a combination of three ways: by hearing, by seeing, and by doing. It's primarily by seeing and doing that children retain the most. We're bombarded by so much noise today that hearing is the least effective. We automatically tune out what we don't want to hear. And it's mostly through sight that things are absorbed. My dearly beloved in Christ, as effective parents, you cannot expect your children to live the Catholic religion if they do not see you actually living it all the time, not just when it's convenient or seasonal. This is also why both parents must be on the same page regarding religion. If they are not, and their children see one parent attending church and trying to teach the validity of the faith, while the other stays in bed and does the opposite, the children are left with a confusing message, one in which the faith lacks any solid credibility. Again, their fallen nature will generally choose to follow the acts of the parent, which are easier and give more freedom to their self-will. Another problem, which is a result of our current society, is the fact that life in the family centers around the children. They have become the number one priority, leaving God and your spouse to take the back seats. In reality, the priorities in a Catholic home should be God first, your spouse second, and the children third. This may seem a bit shocking since children have become the dominating force in our society. My dearly beloved in Christ, worldly activities, sports, practices, tryouts, technology, etc., have placed stressful pressure usually on the mother, who becomes a veritable taxi driver and activity programmer for her children. She's often left with little energy for her spouse and the primary duties of the household. To make matters worse, many of these activities occur on Sundays, which causes more problems of trying to arrange them between church and Sunday family activities. Too often, sports takes precedence over Mass and becomes more important than duty to God, who is only considered when He doesn't interfere with worldly activities. In addition, this has led to children seeking fun, fulfillment, and satisfaction outside of the home, which has resulted in near or total absence of family bonding and family activities as a unit. Meals are rarely taken together, and too often family members live more like tenants, each going their own way rather than a bonded unit. My dearly beloved in Christ, you've often been given practical facts as to raising children. But good parenting isn't complicated. First, you have to have the right point of view. Correct thinking leads to correct behavior. Second, behavior modification through manipulation of rewards and punishments doesn't work. Third, every time we fail to follow God's instructions in any area of our life, we will have problems. Fourth, use every opportunity to instruct your children in your values. And then fifth, love and leadership. Use your power of authority to train your children. First, instruct them to think correctly according to God's will. Their behavior is secondary. And then serve the Lord, not the world. There should not be an overemphasis on grades, sports, buying things, after-school activities, etc. And then regarding consequences, don't be in a hurry. As long as it's dealt with, then only deal with one behavior or discipline problem at a time. When you're communicating instructions to a child, speak from a completely upright position. Don't bend down because it looks like you're pleading. Use the fewest words possible, usually 5 words or less. Take out the garbage, do the dishes, etc. Preface the fewest possible words with authoritative phrases such as, "You're not going to," or "I now want you to," or "It's now time for you to," etc. And then give children no explanation for instructions. And then like with teenagers, you do it in a prudent way. My dearly beloved in Christ, the list can go on and on, but for now, this is a parenting reminder, not a parenting class. In the process of raising children, you should make them earn their wants and use the withdrawal of such as a consequence of violation of house rules. This is especially true of technological gadgets, phones, computers, pads, laptops, along with television, movies, magazines, music, etc., around too much of which their lives revolve. These are very important leverages for rewards and consequences, if you're brave enough to use them as such, and not give in to the demands or tantrums of your children. My dearly beloved in Christ, regardless at whatever stage in your parenting you find yourselves, prayer is crucial. It cannot be ignored if you want to save your own soul and the souls of your children. Nothing is hopeless as long as you have God on your side. Sister Lucia of Fatima said, "The Most Holy Virgin Mary, in these last days in which we live, has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary, to the extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, etc., that cannot be solved by the rosary." Sister stressed and repeated, saying, "There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary." The Rosary gives us grace, power, and protection. Thus, if you really care about your own soul and the souls of your children, you'll put the family Rosary as an essential and powerful force in the spiritual life of your family. The family that prays together stays together. If you're in the habit of praying together, continue. If you've been neglecting this duty, then choose a time every evening when you shut off all technology, even the phones, and start praying the rosary. My dearly beloved in Christ, remember, you are the rulers of the home, and your children must obey, or consequences should follow. If they see that this has become important to you, especially when it's not before been done, they will take note. leave the rest to God and the Blessed Virgin Mary. This, of course, presupposes frequenting the sacraments and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Too much is at stake for this plea and advice to be ignored. Those of you who are no longer raising children and do not have any children should not sit back and relax. You also have an obligation to give the best example possible, for the children are also watching you to see if you're reinforcing what they are or are not learning from their parents, or if your actions are in contradiction or in support of your faith. I just want to wish all of our mothers, and then even in the live stream, all the people who are watching, a very happy Mother's Day. We're blessed here with so many wonderful mothers who are trying so hard and are such a good example, such good mothers. It's a very difficult vocation. It's a very difficult calling. But my prayer, and of course I'm sure yours, is that you're together in heaven as a family, that you and your husband and your children are all together in heaven. But it's going to be a spiritual battle. But please keep it up. Keep trying. It's all worth it. And then once we're all in heaven, then we can relax. It'll be our vacation. But until then, we have to fulfill our responsibility and then never give up. We want our children all to be saved. I'll conclude with a true story. Don't you remember me, nurse? When people ask me if I remember them, I get a sinking feeling in my stomach. This was no exception. I was new to that particular school district, but I'd been all over Amsterdam doing school nursing as well as public health and infant child care. How was I to remember all these mothers over the years? I must have shown my embarrassment in not recognizing this mother. She chuckled before she said, "I don't blame you, nurse, for it was so long ago that we met. You were still a student nurse working in the barracks with the diphtheria patients, and you nursed my son, Hank, then only 5 years old." "Yes, oh yes, I remember my little Hanky. He'd been such a lovable little boy, but so very sick when he came from the holiday camp. He'd been homesick and sad, being so far away from home. My training school hospital is close to the seaside. We often treated children from these camps. That was before the war. Yes, I remember Hanky and even his mother only too well." His files had said that he was Roman Catholic. So that night, I prayed with him before and after supper, and again, just before I tucked him in for the night. I slept in the barracks too, and my bedroom window looked out on the children in the glass cubicles. He was one of only 10 patients, one I never forgot. His throat was very sore, therefore I didn't think too much of it that he didn't pray with me or say the responses. Nevertheless, I kept on praying with him for several days. One day, he began to talk. But even though he folded his little hands and closed his eyes devoutly when I told him that we were going to pray, he never prayed with me. One day I asked him, "Come on, Hanky, pray with me. You know how, don't you?" His big blue eyes looked up at me earnestly, and he only shrugged. I thought then that he'd forgotten about prayer since he was in a strange surroundings and it was not a Christian camp. One had to remind the children, otherwise they'd forget to pray, I thought. From then on, Hanky prayed with me, haltingly at first. But soon, he was most eager to pray. Before long, he was leading me in the Lord's Prayer, and soon he was proud to say all the prayers by himself. Travel was expensive, and it was difficult for the parents to visit. One day, his mother came for a visit. She could not come in and had to talk to Hanky through the window on the veranda. They shouted back and forth most cheerfully, and I smiled to myself when I heard Hanky boast about his prayers. He was indeed a religious boy, never forgetting his prayers, even at nap time. It was always a moving moment when I saw his little hands folded and his eyes closed as he knelt beside his bed. I hoped his mother would stay to see him at his prayers. Suddenly, an angry knocking at the door startled me. I, too, was in quarantine, so I could talk only to the visitors from a distance. It was Hanky's mother. Her eyes flashed as she snapped, "Who told you to teach Hanky to pray?" It was obvious that she rejected the prayer, and strongly. "But he's a Christian," I said lamely. "It's on his files." She snorted angrily. "That's his father, of course. He filled in the forms, and he had to write that down even though he never goes to church or prays." I wanted to comfort her and said timidly, "A little prayer never did any harm." "No, of course not," she agreed hesitantly. Then with a rueful smile, she added, "That'll put him to shame when Hanky comes home with prayers of his own." She shrugged and said almost sadly, "It won't last, though. Hanky's too small to keep it up. And no one will encourage him, certainly not his father. As for me," she turned around in mid-sentence and stomped off. She hadn't told me to stop praying, and so Hanky and I cheerfully went on praying and singing the religious songs. My parents prayed and sang for every reason and season. It was part of our life. Hanky loved to sing and pray, and soon he knew my whole repertoire. When his parents came to take him home, he cried, much to their amazement. "Yes, I remember Hanky." All that flashed through my mind as I looked at the woman before me. 11 years had gone by. I had often thought of Hanky, but only as a 5-year-old. "How is Hanky?" I asked earnestly. His mother laughed. "You should see him. Thin and tall, marvelous boy. Everybody loves him. He always talks about you." She put a hand on my arm and said earnestly, "But you did something quite wonderful when you gave Hank religion." I wanted to protest. I had done very little in the 6 weeks he was with me, but she was so excited, she gave me no time to speak. She had come to see me to tell her story and was bursting to share it. I listened in amazement as she continued, "You know, I never expected Hanky's prayers to last, but he kept up and taught his sisters, little sisters, to pray as well. He wouldn't eat or go to sleep without his prayers. By that time, my husband felt that he should go to a Catholic school, and the girls as well. Soon, we both joined the children when they prayed. Then the war came, and we needed prayer to give sense to our lives and our suffering. We prayed together, as Hanky taught us, day after day. Needless to say, we all went back to church. We're strengthened in our most difficult times. God has been good to us. He must have sent Hanky your way to get us all into his stable. Hanky's prayers went a long way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.